Welcome to season 6 of the Irish Baptist College podcast, Let's Talk. I'm your host, Davey Ellison. I'm the director of training at the college. And we're all a little bit nervous about this season because this is a totally unscripted podcast. We have a tub of questions, which if you're watching, you can see. If you're not, maybe you can hear them. And we've not prepared answers to any of them. We've maybe saw some of them, but we're just going to pick up some questions and see what they are. There's no guarantee we're going to answer all of these questions, and Claire was very firm on making that arrangement with me beforehand, and Matthew, who's with us as well, might find himself doing a lot of editing, depending on how well or how bad the answers go for us. So today we have Claire with us, who is our librarian. So Claire, thank you for making the time to be with us. This is actually study week.
Yep.
And you've come in especially for the podcast because you love being on it so much.
So much.
It's been a busy couple of months. There's yes. been something significant happening in your personal life. Do you want to share a little bit about that?
Yes, we just moved house. So we spent from September to November painting all day, every day, all the evenings. But we eventually moved in the week before Christmas, so now we just have a few boxes to unpack, but we're pretty settled.
Yeah, it's been like the big event in college life with the staff every tea break. It's been like, what's the progress on the house move? How much is painted? So still some boxes to unpack.
Still some boxes to unpack, but not too many.
Yeah, I feel for you. I hate moving house, and I hope that I'll never have to move from the house I now live in. That's my aim in life,
yes.
Not to have to pack up again and move elsewhere. So that's good. And all the paint's still on the walls. Paint job was okay then?
Yep. Okay. So far.
Excellent. Good. There's every possibility that's the easiest question you're going to be asked today, depending on what I hook out of this box. So let's go for it. Do you have any strange hobbies?
No.
Do you have hobbies?
I play...
You live a very busy life. You always seem to be doing something either with the college or with church or with CEF. But do you fit hobbies in around that?
So I play a little bit of badminton, but it's at church. So does that count as church or hobby?
I don't know. You can bank it as a hobby for this question.
I also play a little bit of hockey.
Okay.
And aside from that, I'm involved in youth at church and youth at CEF.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess I am pretty busy doing things, but most of them are enjoyable.
Good. Strange hobbies. I don't have any strange hobbies. I play football five-a-side once a week. Love that. I read, which blends between hobby and work. And yeah, the odd walk, but all that's pretty ordinary. Okay.
I'm not sure you can count walking as a hobby.
Well, it is if you do it like to relax and de-stress, and
okay.
It's not like I have to walk somewhere. It's like, yeah. So we've established we're pretty boring people.
Yep.
Okay. Let's keep going then. If you weren't in ministry, what job would you love to do?
Ooh.
So you're in two ministry jobs.
Yep.
So you work with CEF part-time, you work with a college part-time. What would be your dream job if you weren't doing that?
I don't know about dream job, but I think if I had to retrain, I would retrain as a physio.
Okay.
Or potentially a midwife. I don't know.
Okay.
Both a little bit random, but probably one of those two.
That's what you'd love to do. Why would you like to do one of those two jobs?
I think I just really enjoy helping people.
Okay. My answer is going to be really selfish. I would love to be a professional footballer and get paid for playing football. I could claim that that helps people, but it probably wouldn't really help people. It'd just be beneficial to me, but there you go. Although as a child, I do love animals. So as a child, I did want to be a zookeeper and work with all the animals.
As a child, I wanted to be an artist. And then I discovered how rubbish I was at art, which actually was reinforced to me on Sunday. A little girl came and sat beside me in church and she said, "Will you draw me a dog?" So two circles and four lines later, she was not impressed with her dog.
Do you not know the way, there's like a wee drawing where you start with a stick man and you draw the dog's face?
Yeah, but she wanted to colour it in.
But if you draw a dog's face and then you colour in the dog's face. I'm not saying I could do it. I just, I know the theory, not necessarily the practice.
She should have sat beside you.
Okay, next one's not really a question, just a statement. Stewarding finances. Do you have any wisdom that you can offer on how to steward your finances well?
Nope.
None at all? Did you not do anything in marriage classes about that? That was maybe, how long ago was that? How long are you married?
Over 2 years. That was quite a while ago. We have a budget and we work within it.
Well, I think that's good advice. Yeah, a yearly budget, a monthly budget.
Andrew sorts it.
Okay, so we need to ask Andrew then about stewarding finances. I think that's really good advice. Working within a budget or knowing what kind of budget you have and living within means. Which I think is something that people do poorly. We pick a lifestyle that we want to have and then try to afford it instead of living the lifestyle that you can afford. Which is perhaps a little simpler than what we would like. Sorry, you'll have to contact the Martin Lewis podcast to get some better advice on finances than that, but that's all we can offer. Would you rather always be 30 minutes early or 5 minutes late?
Ooh.
I don't cope well with being late, so I would like to be 30 minutes early.
But you lose so much time in your life if you're 30 minutes early to everything.
Bring a book with you. Imagine all the scrolling on social media you can do in those 30 minutes beforehand.
I don't know. As much as I would like to be early to things, I know I'm the 5 minute late person.
Okay. So you would like to be early?
Yeah, but not. 30 minutes is quite excessive.
That's too much.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. What are the theological pros and cons to using AI for sermon writing and preparation? Using generative AI? Is that different from normal AI? AI that produces stuff for you?
Well, since I don't ever write sermons, I'm going to let you answer that question.
Well, you do CEF talks and children's ministry talks.
They're mainly pre-written.
So you don't have a problem then with AI rewriting stuff for you? I think there's an issue in relying too heavily on other things to create your material. And sermons should be yours, or talks, Bible talks or studies. And even children's ministry stuff, you get good help and an outline and all that kind of stuff, but you still have to make it your own and know it well. You can't just get up and read it. Needs to be part of you, and you give it as yours. So that's the real danger with AI, that it just does all the work for you. I've not used like ChatGPT or anything like that. I am told that it could be used for like research gathering, so instead of having to read 10 commentaries, it does that for you and then produces stuff. The danger there is it's deciding what it's going to tell you and what it doesn't tell you. Whereas if you read the stuff yourself, you can make that judgment.
I mean, we decided to test it one day and we said, like, write me a sermon on Psalm 23 with 4 points, and it does it.
And was it a good sermon?
It was all right.
Yeah.
Okay. Wouldn't have been as good as I would have written, but you know.
But I think that's the danger. I'm a bit of a dinosaur. Like, I still write stuff out by hand and use paper books instead of ebooks and all that kind of stuff. But I do think there's a danger there that we rely on AI to do everything. And if you watch movies, it'll come back to haunt you at some point whenever AI grows a mind of its own. Okay, next question. Is someone looking for a job? Do you want to talk about how the college finds new lecturers, or would you like to pass on that one?
I'm going to pass on
We'll
that.
Pass on that one. Okay. Who's your theological hero? So I'm guessing this is going to be different from like hero in the faith, but maybe like a theologian, author, pastor, someone like that. Who's your hero?
I mean, I could make something up, but I genuinely don't have one.
So there's no one that kind of stands head and shoulders above other people? I do have one. It's a bit cliche, but it's true.
I think growing up, I really appreciated John Piper.
Okay.
But I don't know if you call him a theological hero.
Well, obviously you're not calling him your theological hero. He doesn't quite make the cut. What about John Piper? Did you particularly appreciate? Or was there like one book or one sermon or...
I liked his little thing where he like draws on screen. He talks about verses and draws. Yeah. I liked watching those.
Yeah, he like talked through verses and showed how he pulled it apart and understood it all. Yeah, great. My theological hero is Don Carson, whose writing has been immensely helpful to me, but I imagine a lot of people we'd say Don Carson. It's a little bit cliche, but he is my theological hero. Do you play any sports? We've answered that. Yeah. Badminton and hockey. Any other sports, even recreationally?
No, just those two.
Why do you play hockey? Like, I love football and used to play a wee bit of rugby, but I don't get why you play a sport where other people have weapons. You know, a hockey stick. Like, that's just dangerous in my mind.
Yeah, I guess for girls in school, that was the sport that you played, either hockey or netball, and I'm quite short, so netball wasn't really a great option for me.
Okay. I'm smiling because this is the one question. So Claire compiled all these questions that came off our SurveyMonkey link. Paul commands us to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And there seems to be a lack of psalm singing in modern church life. How would you remedy this? So Claire mentioned this question to me, and my immediate answer was sing psalms, which I was told was a bit sassy. But we could sing psalms. Do you have any further thoughts on this question after?
Like, add one into a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the best way to do that is to sing a psalm. Or there's lots of psalms that have been paraphrased in hymns, which, okay, is maybe not quite singing a psalm, if you want to think about it in kind of metrical psalmody or that kind of thing, but it's still pretty much scripture. Very close anyway to psalm. Anything else to add?
That's it.
Great. We're rattling through these, rightly. Yeah, you're getting all the heavy ones, Claire. How would you counsel Christians in the healthcare industry, be it private or NHS, who are facing increasing pressures on all kinds of ethical issues? So there's a list of ethical issues here, but facing pressures to administer or be involved in ethical issues.
What do you think?
Yeah, thanks, Claire. Yeah, it's really difficult, and there's lots of different things going on. I suppose every decision to some extent is circumstantial, and that one piece of advice isn't accurate for all situations or circumstances. I think this is so two things then to keep in mind whenever you're coming into contact with all of this. I think one is that Scripture commands us to be faithful workers, good workers, honest workers. And so that means we need to honor those that we work for to some degree. So we need to make sure that we are exemplary employees wherever we work. And then that means that on the flip side of that we must obey God rather than man. That whenever we do come to that point where we have to say, well, actually, no, we can't do that or we can't be involved in that, that comes with more force because we have been faithful in all the other stuff that we've done. So I think my counsel would be to be faithful in everything so that whenever you come to say no, that no means something rather than it's kind of, oh, well, you're just the person who says no to everything. But that's not easy and will become increasingly more difficult, I think, in the years that lie ahead. Does that sound like an appropriate answer, Claire?
Yep, I would agree.
Nothing to add?
Yep.
Okay. Do you want to talk about the 10 tribes of Israel who were wiped out, except for Judah and Benjamin? And since they were wiped out, how were their Levites to perform priestly duties in Jesus' day?
I think we should leave that one for Sarah.
I think we should leave that one for Sarah, and I might actually leave that out to make sure I ask her and we get an answer for that one. Okay, we're going to change gear. How long does it take you to get ready in the morning?
Not that long, really. Half an hour, but can be done in less.
That is impressive. It depends what you include in getting ready in the morning. Now, I probably need 45 minutes before I'm ready to leave the house. But that includes doing my Bible readings and things like that and packing my lunch and all that kind of stuff.
Not very good with lunch packing.
So if you're including everything, 45 minutes for me. If I just need to get showered, I could be out the door in 15 minutes. So, yeah.
Good.
Did you put a time frame on that? You just said not that long.
I'd say half an hour.
Half an hour.
Generous.
Would you rather wash dishes or dry dishes?
Depends how dirty they are. Like if it's all these big pots and all, I'd rather dry.
Okay.
But in general, I'd rather wash.
Okay.
Would you rather wash or dry?
I think I don't mind washing dishes. Although if there's loads of plates and you've had guests and this big meal and then there's like all this food still left in the plates and stuff, I don't want to be washing dishes then. Yeah. What was your first job?
I was a waitress in a cafe. I loved it. It was great.
In the catering business?
Mm-hmm.
Or the hospitality sector, as it's now called? My first job was in a nursing home. I worked in the kitchen of a nursing home. It was like kitchen help, so I like...
Washing dishes.
Wash dishes. Yeah, with big industrial dishwasher. Plated up stuff. Had to peel like two sacks of potatoes like every morning was like the first thing that needed done for the lunchtime stuff. It took ages. Yeah.
I never had to peel potatoes. I usually had to put the white chocolate on the raspberry and white chocolate scones. So I was pretty generous with the white chocolate.
Okay, good. Well, that's good because I love white chocolate, so I would have enjoyed that. Oh, we're all tangled up here. Let's see. Right, I've got two questions out, and we are about 18 minutes. So, depending on how long these answers take, perhaps your last two questions.
Great.
How to fully submit to God's will? Any advice on how we submit to God's will? Right, I'll go first.
Yep.
First thing is you need to know what it is.
Yep.
So I think a good start would be knowing your Bible well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how God reveals his will to us.
I agree.
You want to add to that, Claire?
I mean, his primary will for us is to be holy, is to be like him.
Yeah.
So it's hard to practically do that every day.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is. It's a daily thing that's actually very boring. I think we talk about God's will and we think about these massive decisions about career and marriage and these kinds of things when actually it's the daily grind of getting up, being faithful, loving others, sharing Christ, just day in, day out things. Faithful community as well then. So know God's word, do the little things, do that in a community, so the church... And the church helps us to discern God's will, especially I think in Baptist ecclesiology or how we govern our churches. It's the mind of the congregation, the mind of the members, and so we discern that will together. in terms of calling a pastor or significant decisions. And that works out in daily life as well. Okay, good. And the final question then, and it's a good one to finish on. It's a big one. How could Jesus on the cross take the eternal punishment for sin in a limited period of time? Now, you do children's ministry. Children ask crazy questions like this. Have you ever been asked that question by a child or something similar?
No.
If you were on the spot in front of a children's meeting and that was asked, what would your response be?
I would say, because Jesus is God. And then I would say, if you want more information on that, I'll have a think about it this week and find out and come back to you next week.
Well, I think that's the key factor in it. It's not really about the type of punishment, nor for the period of time which that punishment's inflicted. It's about who's enduring that punishment. And it's God in the flesh, Jesus Christ. And because of who he is, that's why he bears it, why he can bear the eternal punishment for sin in a limited period of time, because he is eternal. I'm going to guess that whoever asked that question probably won't be satisfied with that answer, but it all rests on Jesus' identity.
Great.
Great, Claire. Thank you so much for your time. We've rattled through loads of questions there. Very pithy answer, so much appreciated, and hopefully that's encouraging and beneficial to your hearers. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the podcast and for listening to this season. We hope that it is helpful and beneficial to you, and we look forward to seeing you next time.
Thanks.